you'll begin to get the idea as to what this has to do with Parashat Yitro, which is this week's Zedra, and in general, what the topic of the Shir is going to be. Number one, the Gemara relates an incident. There was a certain woman who showed a dinar to Reb Chiya to verify its validity. This was at a period of time that there were all sorts of coins, and coins of the realm at times were taken out of use and would therefore be valueless, and there were people who were experts on coins. And you'd go to somebody who's an expert on the coin, and here in this case we're talking about a woman who somebody is going to pay this woman for something that they're purchasing from her, and they give her this coin, and she doesn't know if the coin is legal tender. So there were experts. Reb Chiya seems to have been an expert on coins, whether they are legal tender or not, and usually there was a fee that you paid to the expert for telling you if the coin is good or not. So here is this woman who shows a dinar to Reb Chiya. Amalasa, he said to her, Ma'ayu, it's a good coin. You can accept it in payment for whatever it is somebody is buying from you. Achazite Lamachar, Asoil Kamevionrali, the next day she comes back to Reb Chiya and she says, you know what happened? I showed the dinar. I accepted, on your say-so, I accepted this dinar, I took it as legal tender, and then I showed it to people, and they said, Bishahu, it's a bad one, veloikonofikle, and it doesn't go, it's not out on the market, I can't use it, it's valueless. I took your advice. It seems Reb Chiya was an expert. Amalei l'Rav, Reb Chiya said to Rav, Rav was his nephew, and it seems that Rav worked with him in the business, and he was the one who was in charge of the ledgers of Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya said to Rav, Zil chalfeinela, go exchange it for her. Now we're going to carry the loss. Uktov apinkasi, and write down in the ledger, Dain Asik Bish. This was a bad deal. We lost on this one. The Gemara asks, "Umayshnu danku v'yisser depetiri mishum de lautzrichi lemegma." The Gemara had been talking about two experts in coins called Danku and Isser. And the halacha is a person who's an expert does not have to make good a loss. Because a person who's an expert who knows everything about coins, if something goes wrong with the coin, then it's something that may have happened just that day and nobody could have been aware of it, and he's only working on the base of all the knowledge that he has previously. And if experts would have to pay for such a mistake, you wouldn't have any experts. Now, if somebody who's a novice at this business gives advice, then you're going to have to carry the loss. Don't give advice about coins if you don't know the first thing about coins. Now, Reb Chiya was an expert like Danki and Issa. And they're not liable for the loss because they don't need to learn their craft further at all. Reb Chiya Nami, Lav Lemig, Mekoboy, Reb Chiya also was an expert who didn't have to learn anymore. He knew it. So the Gemara says, Reb Chiya, Lifnim Bishurat Hadin Hudavit. Reb Chiya did it because he went beyond the letter of the law. The Shir today is about this concept called Lifnim Mishurat Hadin, which for the present we will translate as it is translated here, went beyond the letter of the law in compensating the woman for her loss. Kidetani Rab Yosef, as Rab Yosef learned. What is this Rab Yosef? We will come to this Rab Yosef later. Rab Yosef learns from a pasuk in this week's Sedra. And in number two, we have the pasuk. Shmos 18:20. Yitro comes to the desert and he sees that Moshe is standing all day. answering all of the questions. So he says, you can't do it. You won't be able to carry the burden. You have to divide it. You have to delegate authority to shoftim, to shotrim. You have to set up a whole system of justice. And in amongst the comments that are made by Yitro, it says, v'hizharta ethem et hachukim v'et ha-torah. You shall advise them of the statutes and the teachings of Hodat Olehem, and you should make known to them et haderech yelchuba, the way on which they shall go, ve'et ha-maaseh asher ya'asur, and the deeds that they should do. On this pasuk, and as I say, we're going to come to a full explanation of the pasuk, but Rabbi Yosef is the one who, as Rabbi Yosef expounds on each part of the pasuk, each phrase, each word, when he comes to the end of the pasuk, Asheri, et hamaaseh, Asher yasun, that which they shall do, the actions that they shall do. So Rabbi Yosef is going to say, maaseh, that's din, the letter of the law. Yasun, lifnim mishurat hadin, beyond the letter of the law. There is such a concept in Yahadut, and that's what we're going to talk about, the meaning of this concept. There's a concept of going beyond the letter of the law. Gemara in Brachot, number 3. Amar Rava. Ha milta amrita, no, the following thing I said on my own, v'itamra mishmeid Rab Zeira kavasi, and I heard that Rab Zeira, people are saying in the name of Rab Zeira, the same thing. We both agree. Three people who ate together. Three people ate together. They have to bench. They have to bench with a mezumen. Somebody's going to say, Rabotayne Vareich, and they're going to answer, Yishem Hashem Avarach Me'atovi Avelom. Now, what happens if one of the three finished eating and he wants to bench? Do the other two have to interrupt their meal in order to answer for him? Or will he have to wait until another one finishes eating? So Rava said that the halacha is that one person has to pause and interrupt his meal in order to answer if there are two people who have finished eating and want to bench. But if it's one person who finished and wants to bench, the other two don't have to interrupt. So the Gemara now challenges this ruling below. Two don't have to interrupt their meal. Rav Papa interrupted his meal when his son Abba wanted to bench, and Rav Papa was there with somebody else. They were going to continue eating. They hadn't finished eating yet. Rav Papa simply did not conduct himself according to the law, which was just stated by Rava, that if one person wants to bench and the other two continue eating, they don't have to interrupt their meal. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa, what are you asking? Kashas from Rav Papa. Shani Rav Papa, Rav Papa is different. The Lifnim, Mishurat Hadin, who the other? He went beyond the letter of the law. You're right. The law does not require me to interrupt my meal, but I'm going to interrupt my meal. Source 4. Well, at this rate, who knows? We may get through a good part of the sources. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara asks the following question. Zabin. If a person sold land because he needed money. He sold a piece of his land because he needed money. And after the sale, lo itzrichu lei Susie, he didn't need the money. He sold it. Can he go back to the fellow who purchased it from him and say, listen, you know, I really made a mistake. I only sold the land because I needed money to pay for something else, but I don't need it anymore. So something happened that I don't need it. I want my land back. Question, the Gemara is asking a question, Hadrazvini, is the sale rescinded? Can he go back on the sale? Olo Hadrazvini, or is the sale not rescinded? Because the general rule in transactions, business transactions, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Things that I have in my heart and I have not expressly stated don't count. If he would have said in advance, I am selling this piece of property because I need money for something, and if I won't need the money, I want the sale to be rescinded, that would be no question. But what happens if somebody didn't say anything and now he doesn't need the money? So the Gemara says, Toshima, come and learn from the following incident. Hahu gavre dezabdin adro. Doesn't that sound a little bit? Yes, Zavin Abba Bitre Zuze Chad Gadya. Hahu Gavra, a person de Zabin Ara who sold land to Rav Papa. Here it is, it's Rav Papa again. He sold land to Rav Papa, de Itzchele Zuzi Lemiz Ben Tori, because he needed the money in order to purchase oxen. Lesoflo Itzchele. The end was that he didn't need the money. It can be for any one of reasons. The fellow who was supposed to sell the oxen changed his mind on selling it. There's no sale. I didn't need to sell my land to Rav Papa. You know, what do you think Rav Papa did? Rav Papa gave him back the land. So here we have proof that if somebody sells something because he needs money, and then it turns out he doesn't need money, the sale is rescinded. One says, no, you can't bring any proofs from Rav Papa. Rav Papa lifnim yishurat hadin hu diavid. Rav Papa did what he did because Rav Papa conducted himself beyond the letter of the law. Next slide, number 5. Rav Yehuda Havishokul Ve'ozul Batrei Demar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was walking, following behind the master Shmuel, B'shuka de Beidaisa, in the market of cereal stores. Daisa. There are all sorts of cereal stores. Amalei, Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, Motzo kan arniki mahu. You see, they don't talk about Narushkeit. Gedol Yisrael are walking through the shuk, they don't talk Narushkeit. Rav Yehuda asked Shmuel Ashayla, If I find a purse here in this shuk, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? What am I supposed to return it? Amalei. So Shmuel told him, Arei Elu Shalo, if you find money here in the shuk, there's no way of knowing who it belongs to. It belongs to you. Bo Yisrael v'nosam bo siman. What happens if a Jew comes and gives some kind of a sign that this is an identifying mark? What's the law? Shmuel replied, Chayav Lahavza, you have to return the purse or the money. So Rabbi Yehuda asked, Tarti, you've just answered two questions and they contradict one another. I asked you, if somebody finds a purse over here in this cereal shuk, do you have to return it? No. So you say, no, I don't have to return it. Then you say that if somebody comes and gives identifying remarks, you do have to return it. Amalei, so Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, my second statement was, lifnim mishurat hadin. The din remains din, that you don't have to return it. The second statement I made was that lifnim mishurat hadin, you do return it. And the Gemara illustrates this with a story. Shmuel's father, in other words, Shmuel comes by lifnim mishurat hadin very honestly. It seems to be in the genes. The father of Shmuel, Ashke Chanachamari b'madbara, he found donkeys in the desert. V'hadrinu l'maraya, when he returned them to their owners, lebosa treisi yarchi shante, after a full 12 months of the year had elapsed. And according to the halacha, at that point, you find donkeys in a desert, they're yours. Why did the father of Shmuel return the donkeys? Lifnim mishurat hadin. Now, number six is a fascinating Gemara in Bava Metzia. And to save you all of the problems. So in the wee hours of this morning, I got my hands on the English translation to that. And if you'll turn over, there it is. Translation of number 6, it says. You have that? It's right there. Very convenient. Back page. Next page. Next page. Translation of 6. Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi, have a causal buch. Rabbi Shmuel ber, son of Rabbi Yossi, was going on the road. Paga be'ahu gavra. So he chanced upon a man, have a dori pet chedufa. The man was carrying a bundle of wood. Otvinu v'komitpach. He took the bundle of wood, he placed it on the ground, and he was resting.
On the bundle of wood?
No, not on the bundle of wood. On the ground he was resting. Okay. He put the bundle of wood on the ground so that he can sit down. Okay. Now, what happens is, he's going to need help in order to get the bundle back on his shoulder so that he can continue his journey. Now, the halacha is, Halach is Ozov Tazov Imo. You're going to have it in Parashas Mishpatim. You have to assist a fellow Jew. You have to assist him if it's a matter of loading on a donkey of his, or taking off the load, or helping him get something onto his back. You're supposed to help him. But there's another halacha. There's an exemption. There's an exemption. You know who's exempt? Zakein ve'eno lefi chvodo, an elderly Jew or a great Talmud Chacham, and it's not lefi chvodo, it's not in keeping with his dignity, is simply not obligated to do that. He is exempt. That's all. There are certain exemptions. So now the man says to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Dalili, load the wood back on me. Rabbi Shmuel turns to him and says, Kama shoven, how much is it worth? How much is your bundle of wood worth? Amalais, he told him it's worth palga de zuz, a half a zuz. So you know what he did? Yoivle, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, gave him a half a zuz. He purchased the wood from him, so now he doesn't have to put it on his back. But what's Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi going to do now with the wood? Yoivle, palga de zuz, for afkira, he made it ownerless. But mafkira, you know what this guy did? It's ownerless. He grabs hold of it and he now takes possession of it. And then he turns to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, could you please load this on my back? So you know what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi did? He pulled out a half a zuz and gave him a half a zuz, and he made it ownerless. Then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi sees that the man is going to get his hands on the wood in order to take possession of it, and this is going to keep going on until Mashiach comes. So, Hodar Yoiv Letalgad Azuzav Yafkari Chazi, he immediately saw that the man wished to go after the wood to acquire it yet again, Omalei. So he said, it's ownerless to the whole world except for you. Lekula Alma Afkarinu, with respect to the whole world, I pronounce them ownerless. Veloch Lo Afkarinu. Now the Gemara is going to go on to say, is it possible to make something ownerless to the whole world except for one person? The fact is, legally you can't do that. The moment you've made something hefker, it's hefker to the whole world. Except that Rabbi Yeshua was doing it over here because he sees with whom he's dealing. The Gemara asks me, have a hefker, can I have that? Can something really become ownerless in this way? For Tanan we learn, Beishamai Yomer and Beishamai say, hefker laniyim. Rabbi Shammai are the ones who say that if you make something hefka, that only the poor can have. Rabbi Shammai hold that that's good, but they still say, ain't no hefka. Archei hefka lamim v'lashidim kishmita, the legal status of something that is hefka is it has to be like shmita, that it belongs to everybody. Anything that grows in the fields on shmita belongs to everybody, poor and rich alike. Alright, so therefore, what is Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi saying over here? It's hefka to everybody, not to you. Elo Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi lekuli ami afkarinu. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi really is mafkar to the whole world. Ubimilse ba'alme, on the next column. And he restrained the men from taking the wood with mere words. When he said, it's hefka to everybody except for you, he didn't mean that from a halachic point of view. He knows the halacha. But he has to stop this fellow from collecting hef zuzes until the end of time. But the Gemara says, why is all of this taking place? Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi is zaking veinul. If Rabbi Yishmael, so Rabbi Yossi was an elderly man, and presumably it would not be fit his honor to pile wood on a man's back. He's exempt from the whole halacha. He could have told this fellow, Shainigid, Mr. Bist, I'm sorry, I don't have an obligation to help put it on your back. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, you got the answer. Lifnim Yishurat Adin Hu David, he went beyond the letter of the law. And here the Gemara is going to bring to Toni Rabbi Yosef. I told you we're going to get to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef expounds on the pasuk in this week's Sedra. Vahodat Olehem, Yitro tells Moshe, you should warn them what they're supposed to do. Vahodat Olehem, you should let them know. Et haderech yelchuba ze beit chayehem. Beit chayehem, he says. Beit chayehem means, and I tupshat and Rashi in two different places in Shas gives two different meanings. And here they bring, I would say, what is the accepted meaning? Beit chayehem is that you have to learn a profession. You're going to teach Klal Yisrael. Not only do you have to teach them Torah, not only have to tell them the chukim and the mishpatim, the Torah and the mitzvot, but Beit Chayeim, Ayid Daf Machan Aleim, you have to teach them Beit Chayeim. That's how he describes, that's the term he uses. Et haderech, in the pasuk it says, the derech, what is the derech? Zugmilus chasadim, you have to teach them also that they should be, good, do kind deeds. Yelchu, that they should walk. This refers to the mitzvah of Bikur Chol and visiting the sick. Bo, the ultimate end of the road. That's the mitzvah of Kvura, burying the dead. The end of the pasuk is Ve'es Hama'aseh Asher Ya'asun. Remember, it's amazing. We're learning this from the words of Yitro. From the words of Yitro. Ve'et Hama'aseh Ze'adin. This refers to observing the letter of the law. And the end of the pasuk is Asher Yasun Zulifnim Mishurat Adin. Maintaining a standard of conduct that goes beyond the letter of the law. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is in fact not obligated to help this fellow put the wood on his back, but Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was conducting himself beyond the letter of the law. Alright? In that, if you go back to number seven is a comment that comes in the Gemara after the story of Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. A few lines down. Just putting this in, this is interesting. Asher Yasun. These are the two words that are important to us. Asher Yasun are the words from which we learn Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. By the way, we will also have to discuss, and that's going to be, of course, the crescendo of the shiur. How does Rabbi Yosef know in the word Ya'asun that Ya'asun refers to Lifnim Yishuret Hadin? But meanwhile, the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Chorva Yerushalayim Elal Shadonu Badin Torah. Yerushalayim was destroyed because decisions were made according to Torah law. So the Gemara gets very upset. Eladina de Magista Ladainu. What do you mean? What law do you want them to use in Yerushalayim? The laws of tyranny? Or maybe British law? Or Turkish law? What law do you want? What are you telling me? Yerushalayim was destroyed because they followed Torah law. So the Gemara responds by clarifying Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Ela Eima, She'emidu dineim al din Torah. They went for the letter of the law. V'lo avdu lifnim mishuret adin. They didn't conduct themselves lifnim mishuret adin. It's always something, you know, when people come to ask me a shaila that they have with their neighbor about 50 shekel. And this will most probably take 2 hours of my time listening to this one and listening to the next one. And then, of course, at some point when they begin to see that it's a little bit ridiculous, then they say, Rabbi, it's the principle of the thing. When I hear the words, it's the principle of the thing, I cringe. I want to run away. If they say, you know what the principle of the thing is? The 50 shekel. You know what the principle of the thing is? That I'm right? No, not that I'm right. That you're wrong. No. There's something about living within the law. That Torah says there are times that you have to look beyond. Of Yerushalayim, it was expected that people should go lifnim mishurat hadin. Now, what interests me over here is number 8. I have a Tosfos. I don't understand the Tosfos. I'm just going to tell you what he says and tell you what my question on it is. Lo chorva. Tosfos says v'im toma debiyuma. If you can ask, in Masech Deyum it says it was destroyed because of sinat chinam. Everybody knows about sinat chinam, baseless hatred. So Tosfos answers, hova ho garma. The two, that they stuck to the letter of the law, and that there was sinat chinam. In a sense, you can explain the Tosfos that the two are in fact interrelated. If there's sinat chinam, then you're going to stick to the letter of the law. I have my problem with the Tosfos is, I think it's a shiur that I said quite a few years ago, By sinat chinam, the Gemara is talking about the destruction of the Bet HaMikdash. Lo chorva Bet HaMikdash, only because of sinat chinam. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about why Yerushalayim was destroyed. These are two separate things. When the Churban came, there were a whole series of things that happened. Number one, of course, is the loss of Jewish sovereignty. Number two is that they raised the Bet HaMikdash to the ground. Now there are conquering armies that will come into a capital city, and they will leave the city completely intact. But what happened over here is the greatest building of all is raised to the ground. This is not done. What they're going to be demonstrating today because they're afraid that we're going to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and therefore they're not letting people into the old city. You don't do that. Those things you don't do. What happened over here by Churban, a number of things happened. The Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, and then the city of Yerushalayim was raised to the ground. And number three, the inhabitants of the city were exiled. Each one happened for different reasons. Rabbi Yochanan over here in the Gemara is talking about why the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed. The city of Yerushalayim was destroyed, but one of the reasons was because the letter of the law. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. All right. Now, number 10. We're moving along over here with such speed and alacrity. This is a fascinating Gemara. Number 10 is a fascinating Gemara. Rabbi Barbar Chonon Tevorulei Hanu Shikuloi Chavito de Chamro. Rabbi Barbar Chonon hired a number of people as porters who would carry his jugs of wine from one place to the next. He wanted to transport his wine from one place to the next. It seems that these guys were really good porters, you understand? They broke the barrels of wine. Fatish, nishken barrels, nishken wein, gunished. Shokoliglimayo, you know what he did? He grabbed their coats so that he should have some place where to be able to collect his loss. Also, these porters came and they said to Rav, they said to Rav that, you know, we need our coats. So Rav said to Rav Abba Chana, Havlahu Glumayu, give them back their coats. They complained to Rav that Rav Abba Chana took our coats. So he says, give them back their coats. Amalei. So he said, Rav Abba Chana said to Rav, Dina Hochi, is this the din? Is this really the din? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Amalei, he said to him, in, yes. Because there is a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Leman telech bederech tovim, in order that you should go on the path of good people. Leman telech bederech tovim. Take note of the fact that the Gemara here does not use the pasuk of et hamaaseh asher yaasun, which appears in our sedra, from which we learn lifnim mishurat adin. Over here he says no. Rav uses a pasuk in Mishlei leman telech bederech tovim, and we're going to have to understand why. Amrulei, these porters, well, I will not judge them. They came to Rav and they said, Anya Anan, we're poor. V'tarchinan kula yoma, we worked hard all day. You know, it's not easy to break all the barrels of wine. You have to work a whole day to pull off something like that. V'kafinan, and we're hungry. V'letlan midi, and we have nothing to eat. We were working all day so that we should have money for food. Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Abba Chana, Zilhav Igrayhu, give them their salary for the day. Amalei, so he asked him, Dina Hachi, is this the halacha? So Rav told him, yes. And you know what he does? He quotes the second half of that same pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk begins by saying, Leman Telech Bederech Tovim, in order that you should go in the way of the good. And the end of the pasuk is, V'orchos tzadikim tishmar. You should watch the path of the righteous. First of all, the second halacha that B'gav Paskins is a giant step further than the first. Give them back their coats, all right? Give them back their coats. Okay. But pay them for a day's work when they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But on the contrary, they destroyed everything. This is an unusual psak halacha. And he bases it on the pasuk leman telech bederech tovim v'orchot tzadikim tishmor. You should go in the way of the good and keep the ways of righteousness. See? I'm a little concerned about the translation here. There's a difference between a derech and an orach. And I don't think that it's expressed by the English translation. A derech is a highway. We would call it over here autostrada. Autostrada. Isn't one of the companies that runs some of the highways here called Derech Eretz? Are they the ones that own Kvish Sheish or Kvish to Ariel? Derech Eretz. A Derech is a road. Here they use Kvish, Mish, Derech. An Orach is a path. An Orach is a small path, maybe. One can go single file. On a derech, you can have three lanes on each side. I don't know what's going to happen when they open up this whole big new interchange right outside of Yerushalayim. We're going to be going in circles all over the place. I don't know. Nine lanes on each side. It's unbelievable what's going to be. The first part of the pasuk, returning the coats, there, one who does that is going on the road with a lot of other people. To keep the second part of the pasuk, to pay them their salaries for that day, that's a little narrow path. Not too many people walk that path. I would have translated, therefore, Orach as a path, not as the, here is translated the Derech. And the Derech should be the way and the Orach. Unless, of course, the word way over here is not talking about a physical path, but an Orach in terms of a manner of conduct. Orchos Tzadikim, the conduct of the righteous. And there's a difference, of course, between Tovim and Tzadikim, the good and the righteous. Tzadikim obviously represents a far higher level in Tovim. You know, there are a lot of good people. Not too many people are Tzadikim. So good people, give them back a coat. What do you think of that? A day like today, you're going to let somebody die without a coat. We can't verfreich him werden in Yerushalayim today. You kidding me? Go let them go out with without their coats. But I don't have to pay them their salary. But to pay them their salary, that's tzidkus. Why didn't the Gemara here use the pasuk that's really quoted most often in the Gemara? There are a lot of Gemaras. I don't even think that we... I don't think we did them all. A lot of Gemaras that quote the pasuk in our Sedra. So Tosfos, in a few places in Shas, Tosfos asks this question. And the Balei Tosafot, you know what Tosafot are? In the Gemara, on the one side you have Rashi. The other side you have the children and grandchildren of Rashi, or the Tosafit, the great scholars of France. So they ask, why didn't Rav quote the pasuk of Lifnim Mishurat Hadin? And he makes Tosfos gives a very beautiful distinction. Say in the case of Rabbi Yishmael and the wood, most other people would be obligated to help somebody put the wood on this fellow's back. Rabbi Yishmael has an exemption. When a person chooses not to benefit from an exemption and says, I want to be like everybody else, then you use the pasuk of Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. And you'll see how significant this is. What about the other case? Rabbi Chiya is an expert on coins. He knows his coins. As a man who knows his coins, the halacha exempts him from having to make good on a bad deal. He chooses not to use the exemption. He wants to be seen just like everybody else. When a person is exempt and chooses not to use the exemption, that's lifnim mishurat hadin. And I'll tell you why. You'll see. How do you translate lifnim mishurat hadin? Everybody, yes, above and beyond the letter of the law. That's how it was translated. But I'm asking you, forget what you've learned for so many years. Lifnim is beyond or within? Within. Lifnim mishurat hadin means I want to be within the confines of the law. I am exempt, but I don't want that exemption. I want to move in and be within the letter of the law. By the case of the porters who broke the wine, there is no exemption and there is no halacha. They didn't do their job. Nobody would have to pay them. It's not a matter that Rabbi Baba Chanan is exempt and he chooses to pay them. The whole world is exempt. If the whole world is exempt, then we have to use a completely different pasuk. Leman telech bederech tovim v'orchos tzadikim tishma. The only time you can use the pasuk of Hashamase Asher Yasum, which talks about lifnim mishurat hadin, is where I have an exemption and everybody else would have to pay, as Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Chiya. What's the meaning of lifnim mishurat hadin? We have to get to the deeper meaning of lifnim mishurat hadin. Because when we hear that the Gemara says, "Well, Chorva Yerushalayim," Yerushalayim was destroyed only because they went according to Din Torah, the letter of the law, and they didn't go lifnim mishurat hadin. What does this mean? Well, you know, maybe it's not the greatest standard of conduct to live within the din, but that's not pretty bad. That's not so bad either. For Yerushalayim to live within the din. Now, you know, we're getting a picture over here. If somebody thinks that Yerushalayim was a lawless community, corrupt, not then. Because what Rabbi Yochanan says we expect of Yerushalayim is lifnim mishurat hadin. The fact is, of course, that Yeshayahu does talk about corruption. Kulo rodev shalmonim, they're all running to get the payoffs, and I don't know, we have to understand that first chapter in Yeshayahu. So I want to take you through a Ksav HaKabbalah, and I think we have enough time to do a good job on this Ksav HaKabbalah. Number 11. Yes. Well, I think she's asking a very good question. Does the ideal of Shnei Mishurat HaDin apply to women who have accepted upon themselves Tkiyat Shofar and other mitzvahs? Well, according to what we've just now said, they have an exemption. And what happens if one chooses not to benefit from the exemption and wants to, in fact, be considered within the confines of the law? That's Lifnei Mishurat HaDin. A woman who goes to shul to make sure that she's going to hear Shofar blusin, this is Lifnei Mishurat HaDin. All right? The Ksav HaKabbalah. And the Ksav HaKabbalah is going to bring us down to the crucial question. I mean, it's very nice. Rabbi Yosef says, HaMaseh, that we can understand. Maseh, what you're supposed to do is din. How does he know that Asher Ya'asun, Ya'asun, how does he know that that word means Lifnei Mishurat HaDin? This is the crux of this whole shir. How do we know that? And it's... The Ksav HaKabbalah, it's masterful. It's a masterful shtickle. Asher Ya'asun. I'm going to try and read as much as I can, and if I'm going to skip, I'll tell you a line number to go to. Just watch it. L'rabotenu, our rabbis say, Asher Ya'asun, zu lifnei mishurat hadin. Ya'asun, that is the lifnei mishurat hadin. L'havin datam, to understand what they're saying. L'drosh me'ot nun. Hatosefet inyan lifnei mishurat hadin. How do you find from the nun? It's really the nun. It should have said hamaseh asher ya'asu. The nun seems to be the letter upon which a whole approach to yahadut rests, on one little thin nun aleph. Where do we see it? Where did Rabbi Yosef see it? This is going to be an exposition, an explanation of the whole nature of Yahadut. He says the following. Nidali, it seems to me, Ki HaTorah hi kemare meluteshet ubehira. Torah is like a shiny, crystal clean mirror. Every Jew can see his mirror image in every mitzvah. The point that he's going to make is, there are those who may think that, you know, we all are supposed to fulfill mitzvahs by rote. We're a bunch of robots, tefillin, tzitzis, sukkah, lighting candles, rote, do. No. The whole neshama and the character and the personality of a human being can express itself in the way in which one performs a mitzvah. The extent of one's zeal and one's fervor and one's desire. There are so many feelings that can go into the performance of a mitzvah that the mitzvah becomes the mirror in which each and every Jew can see himself. No two Jews perform the same mitzvah in the same way. It may look like they're doing the same thing. It may look like it's all rote. It may look like it's all just a bunch of robots, but this is nicht robots. These are human beings who bring all of their feeling, their sense of commitment, a feeling of sanctity and purity, bring all of that and invest it into the fulfillment of a mitzvah. Yireb, so he said, Torah is a mirror, a shiny, clear mirror. Yireb kol echad tzurato, each man, each person can see his form in it. Ish harmoni, one of the masses of people, yistakel b'mitzvot, tehach kifi koach dato achavusha, he looks at the mitzvah according to the extent of his own mind. V'hagod only men, the one who's above, yistakel b'ot ha-mitzvah atzma, is going to look at the same mitzvah, kifi derech tvunato, as he understands. V'chein kol balei ha-nefashot ha-mitchalfot b'madrogeteim, all of the various souls and feelings and human being according to the various levels. Kulam osim mitzvah achas. They're all doing one mitzvah. V'nizhari me'azora achas, and they're careful not to be over an avera. Avon kol echad, each one, kefi darko t'vrato, according to his way and his understanding. And on this Shav HaMarmah, when the Torah says Torah Achat U'Mishpet Achad Yelachem V'Lager HaGor Itchem, number of times Torah says that there's one Torah and one law for you and the Ger who lives in your midst. Ki HaChosid Shebechaside Yisrael V'Hanovi Asher B'Tocham Shove B'Masa HaTorah V'HaMishpat. The greatest, the lowest, including the Ger, they are all equal in the act of the mitzvah. Lo levad im ha'ezrach b'Yisrael mitalat amor. It's not only the lowest level of Jew. Avol gam ma'ger hanilvah Hashem me'amayeratzot. Also the ger who has come to become part of us. In terms of the performance hama'aseh, we're all the same. We're all the same. The entire congregation are equal in the mitzvot of Torah and in the mitzvot lo tase. Ulam hakotim shebehem yaseh hamitzvah kipshuta v'hudin Torah. Smaller, lower people, you know, pashut get the yidden, and some will do the mitzvah according to their understanding, as is required by Torah. Ulam hagadol. The greater a person is, kifi gadlo, according to his greatness. Ki yoter shiakir et boro, umitbonein bedrachav, the greater the extent to which a person recognizes and sees his creator and thinks about the divinity. Yase chesed l'nafsho v'yaleno mimadrega l'madrega, he is able to raise his soul to much greater heights. Yaflig b'yiro b'chochma, people can go great lengths in fear and in wisdom. And for them it's not enough to remain with Din Torah that is given to everybody. He is going to make himself into a great chassid, a great pious person, to take himself higher and higher. Medagdig behen, he's careful about the details of the mitzvah. And he pursues the mitzvah with great fervor. And this is true both in positive commandments, mitzvahs lo sase, v'kulam yikadesh atzmo gam b'dovar hamutalo. He sanctifies himself even b'dovar hamutalo. Kadesh lo yovu l'klal aveda. Line number 35. He's saying that the greater a person is, din is not going to be enough for him. He's going to put in the effort le'ehov et ha'mesharim, to love that which is straight and right. Lalechet b'darkei ha'anashim, to go in the ways of people, anshei chesed, men of great kindness, hamafliim lasot, that do wonderful things, lihtnaheg b'derech lifnim mishurat adin. A person who wants to place even a greater part of his neshama into a mitzvah, that's lifnei mishurat hadin. Now, we're getting close. Hinei anshei hamala ke'elu kvar netak teva nefshotam miteva harishona ve'inam domim od lahovdim mitzad krishat yitzgam. A person who's reached the point of lifnei mishurat hadin, he has moved his neshama. It has moved from being one like the masses of people who just do the mitzvah. And you know what happens? By them, this higher level of piety and performance of mitzvah becomes second nature to them. I'll get to the point. And I think that the point is true in English as well. There are people who teach. What about somebody who makes it his profession? What's he called? Don't be afraid. Teacher. All right? I'm going to put you to work now. Give me other words that end with ER, and they represent the person's profession. There are people who export things and import things, but then there are exporters and there are importers. What's an exporter or an importer? One who is, this is his, that's him. That's him. You have any other? A baker, a butcher, a candlestick maker. There are people who can cut up meat, but then there are people who are professional butchers. Everybody bakes. Everybody thinks they know how to bake. And then there are people who talk and bake professionally. They're bakers. You'll go through the English language and you're going to find there are so many. ER is one of those. I mean, there are people who are who keep the law, and then those who don't, and they're lawyers. You understand? There are all sorts of ERs. In Lashon Kodesh, how do you describe a first person who is a professional? A kablan, that's the first thing you thought of. In other words, there are people who do shiputzim, but then there's a professional who's supposed to know how to do it. He is called a kablan. One time when I was thinking about it, I just came up with bad ones. There's a guy who says joke, he's a late. What about a comic? A comic is a late son. Okay? A bad khan, all right? Let's come up with a few good ones. A lamdan. There's a person who learns Torah, but then there's a person that Torah has become his entire makeup. He's a lamdan. At the end of, I'll give you all a chance. You're going to get. I don't want to forget something. At the end of Ne'ilah, in the bracha that we say at the end of Ne'ilah, Ki ato solchan li Yisrael umachalan l'shiftei Yeshurun. The Rebbeinu Shem can be a mochel and a soleach, but you know what happens at Ne'ilah time? It becomes the entire essence of his being. He's a solchan and a machlan. The Rebbeinu Shem is Merachem, but Rachavan. When we want to describe the essential nature of the Rebbeinu Shem, it becomes Rachavan. The Nun is that which takes what would be a verb and turns it into a noun. A person is lomed, so that's talking about the act of learning. When learning becomes his whole life, he's a lamdan. is London. The Rebbeinu, when he pours out his kindness and his goodness on Klal Yisrael, he's not simply Rachum V'Chanun, he becomes the Rachamon. He becomes the Rachamon. Anybody else have any more? I mean, you know, we can even in the regular world. I don't know why I can't think now of all of the professions. There's a katzan and there's a shakran that we know hear a lot of lately. There's a shakran and a shadchan. Huh? Oh, then that doesn't fit into a... okay. Now there are... Huh? What? Ganan. Yes, Ganan. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying, this is what Chazal understood. When it says, HaMaaseh Asher Ya'asun, and not Ya'asu, we're not talking anymore about a verb of what they should do. These are people who now have achieved the status that doing mitzvahs is their profession, is their neshama. That's a yasun, Nick. Later on in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, listen, you know, just stay away from idolatry. I mean, it makes no sense. Asher lo yishmun, v'lo yochlun, v'lo yirun. They don't eat, they don't see, they can't do anything. Why couldn't it have said asher lo yochlu, v'lo yishmu, v'lo yiru? Because you know what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them? They are the essence of nothing. They're not eating is part of their essence. They can't do anything. They can't see. They can't hear. It's not simply like this is a shtickholz. Some shtickholz can see and some don't see. So these don't see, but others do see. Lo yishmon v'lo yochon. We have a number of words like that in Hallel as well. So now, go to line number 51. The easiest way to find line 51 in the next column is going to line 50 and going one line after it. Okay, all right? Ukvar yadanu, we already know ki hanunin hanitlot besof hapolim a nun that is attached at the end of a verb. Hein ke'ein nun hatoar, they are like a nun which is a noun. It's descriptive, it's no longer verb. Like he says, as he says in Veschanon by Lo Yochlun, Fahoyo Ekev Tishmaun. Ekev begins, if you will be Tishmaun, that means you will turn into people whose whole essence is listening to God. Vechen Kan. Here also it says, Asher Yasun, Yore Ot Nun, that letter Nun comes to teach us Al HaToar. This is a description. The entire personality within the person who does. We're not simply talking about a man who goes lifnei mishurat hadin. He is lifnei mishurat hadin. Shenit hapech l'teva shniya. It has become his second nature. Atse matkonet nafsho oved Hashem. His entire being serves God. I love the last two lines. Pikach einecho urei. Just open up your eyes and see. Ki droshat chachamenu the drosha that our rabbi said, asher yasun means lefnimi shurat adin. Tagia lo omek v'yesod darkei haloshon. It reaches to the very depths of an understanding of Hebrew and Hebrew syntax. But there's so many ideas in this Ksav HaKabbalah. There's no such thing as rote. We don't do anything by rote. Everybody brings their own neshama, their own character, their own personality to each and every mitzvah. We're only similar and all united in terms of the act. but not everything that surrounds the act. That's the Yasun. Yasun represents a sense of devotion and commitment, a sense of Kedusha Utahara. The Rebbeinu Shalom expects of Yerushalayim Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom expects of Yerushalayim. What may be good for the rest of the Jewish world is not good enough for Yerushalayim. We have a big job. We have a big job ahead of us. But I just love the beauty of one letter. The story that one letter can tell. That's it.